Blog Talk Radio.
From the deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, the SRI Label Group, Wildlife Educational Services, and Blog Talk Radio present Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover with us the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we discover his wild world.
Well, hello everyone from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio and our worldwide audience and our program Wild World every Sunday at 3 p.m. So we encourage you to listen to past episodes as well as today's. Because we have a good one today. Kiki Epson will be joining us in a little bit. We'll listen to some of her music. But more important, she was right in the middle of those California wildfires and had an amazing story to tell us. And we want to hear all about it. Kiki will be joining us in just a little bit. And as always, from the Wild World News headquarters in Indianapolis, Indiana, now HD and with incredible acoustics because of that beautiful knotty pine paneling, the Honorable, Distinguished, and always on time, Dr. Henry Day. Good evening, Doctor. Afternoon, I should say.
Good afternoon, Mr. Batson. We're excited about today's show. Kiki's back. Interested to hear what's been going on in her life. And what's been going on in your life?
My life? Well, my life is going very well. I haven't disclosed this on any of other thing, really, but I'm dealing with Parkinson's disease. And they've played with my medication and everything. And guess what, Dr. Day? I am almost back to normal. So,
oh, well, that's scary in itself.
That is scary. But I'm feeling much better now. So I'm very excited about that, as well as my wife, Cheryl. So it's very cool.
That is great news. Great news.
What's going on your end?
Well, not a lot. Still dealing with a little bit of construction around the house, little painting, and, just normal life when you own a house.
That's right. It's a hassle. Are you ready?
As always.
Oh.
It's now time from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Good afternoon, everybody. We're going to start out the Wild World News in St. Petersburg, Florida, one of my old stomping grounds. All right, we got monkeys going crazy. A troop of roaming primates will nearly double in size if wildlife managers don't step in and stop the monkey mating. Yeah, it's getting a little crazy in Florida. Researchers found that the number of rhesus macaques at the Silver Springs State Park will grow to 350 or more in the next few years.
It'll be like India.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, once the monkeys, gain such a great number, they're just going to start taking over.
Yeah, they will. But I'm sure Florida will figure out a way to make it to a tourist mecca, so go see the real
Silver Springs is a beautiful place. All right,
it is.
Good news. We got good news from Concord, New Hampshire. Bald eagles are in the midst of record population growth in the northern New England states, where America's national bird could find itself moved from all state endangered list.
Mm.
Yeah. Good news. That's now cool. The eagle was once completely gone from New Hampshire.
Really?
Yep, that's what they say. You know, how can you actually tell? But, either way, that's great news.
It is. Very good news.
All right, we've got a whale watch warning from Seattle, Washington. A state task force on critically endangered Northwest orcas wants to temporarily suspend whale watching boat tours. Now, this is to help save a population of orcas that is at its lowest in the past 30 years.
Hmm. Well, good for them. That's a good idea.
Yeah, well, they have no explanation why the population has dropped so low, but that's why they're wanting to suspend the whale watching boats so they can focus a little more on what the problem is.
Yeah.
Now, we just talked about the monkey business. We've got some more monkey business going on in San Diego, California. A new baby at the San Diego Zoo came as a real surprise. Eloise, a 37-year-old Siamang type of gibbon, has been on birth control for years.
And?
And I think it's a quite nice surprise.
Yes, it is. Well, how about that?
Yep. Apparently she wasn't taking her pills.
Apparently she there's no excuse for it now in this day and age, so.
That's right.
Yeah.
But still, baby monkey, come on, yeah. All right, Wildlife Educational Services sends out a big thank you to Brooklyn Brockelman of Lamar's, Iowa. Why is that? Well, this eighth grader who is working to provide pet oxygen masks to every fire department in Iowa. Now, that's more than 600 fire departments. Now, she's doing this so the firefighters can treat and revive pets rescued from house fires.
Well, good for her. Wow. That's incredible.
Incredible undertaking, yes. But what a great idea. Thank you, Brooklyn.
Absolutely. Yes.
All right, what's this? Sounds like a cricket story for Collins, Colorado. Eating crickets could be a key to a healthy gut. Yeah, gut. It finds a research study by Colorado State University Department of Food Science and Human Nutrition. Now, Associate Professor Tiffany Ware came up with this study. And what bothers me about it is professor is using the word gut.
Doesn't seem very educated to me.
Now, I could eat crickets, I guess, if I had powdered sugar. I think you could put powdered sugar on anything, and it would taste good.
Yeah, or seasoned salt.
And the only response I have to the cricket story is, Jiminy.
Well, you know, I was kind of thinking, as you mentioned this cricket story, Dr. Day, I was kind of wondering what Dave Davies might think about this whole escapade. I mean, I hit the right button. It won't work. There it goes.
Hey, thank you, Dr. Dave. Hey, you listening? You available? On the line, Dave? Larry, I just heard the story about eating crickets. I had a pet cricket myself.
For
a couple of months. The hedgehog finally ate him, and we had a little funeral, and there was a leg left. That's all there was. But I couldn't eat a cricket.
You could. Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Fat fingers. Always good to hear from Dave.
It is.
He always has
something
interesting to say. All right, we're heading off to Charleston. Go ahead.
I figured he would talk about playing cricket. Thank you.
All right, well, off to Charleston, West Virginia. The candy darter, which is a vibrant rainbow-colored fish that lives in a handful of Appalachian streams, has been listed as endangered. Now, this is a beautiful little fish. We have the darters here in Indiana.
Yes.
Quite lovely. We would miss them very much if they were gone. So to our listeners in West Virginia, be kind to the darters.
Yes, that's right.
All right,
so
we got a. Are you ready for some grizzly news?
I'm ready.
All right. Well, this is good grizzly news. Missoula, Montana. Two conservation groups have purchased an undeveloped area to help protect grizzly bear habitat near the Kenai and Yak rivers there in Montana.
Oh, cool.
Now, a lot of people aren't fond of grizzly bears, but they have a big place in our environment.
Well, they do. They're the animal that proves to us that we can live side by side with these great beasts. So it just takes some intelligence on our part to be able to do that. You know, and be educated when you go into the grizzly bear country. That's what it's all about.
Yep, and that's one of the reasons why you're out there educating the youth. You have two big black bears just a few feet from you, don't you?
Well, they are. And they're taking a little nap as I look out at my window in the studio here right now.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, take a nap, yeah.
Yeah, but we'd miss Kiki if we did.
I know.
All right. How do we know when Christmas is coming to Florida? Well, I'm going to tell you. Fort Myers, Florida. It's one of the most uniquely Southwest Florida signs that Christmas is coming. Yes, it's when Harriet the Bald Eagle lays an egg. We know that the holidays are a little more than a month away. Now, on 3:27 p.m. Friday, Harriet's first egg appeared in her North Fort Myers nest.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah, it is.
Yes, it is.
Glad to hear the Eagles are doing well everywhere. Now, I don't know if you heard about this. We're going to do some local news now. The Indiana Department of Natural Resources says a car struck a black bear on I-64 in New Albany around 8 o'clock last Sunday night. Now, the people in the car and the bear neither were hurt. The bear wandered off into the brush, and, you know, we do not know what its condition is. But we haven't had bears in Indiana for a while, and in the last couple of years, there's been a lot of bear sightings.
Well, they have been here, but the Department of Natural Resources just didn't refuse to acknowledge them. That when someone hits one with a car, I mean, what can they say about that? Oh, I guess they could say, well, you hit a Bigfoot. I could say that. Yeah, so.
I'm sure that's going to happen. Well,
sure.
Kiki, are you ready? It's time for that time. It's that time of the show when we play Who's Gotten Older?
Okay.
I just love her. She's so funny. Okay, Doc.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Here we go. All right. One of our favorites, singer Dr. John, had a birthday this past Wednesday. How old do you suppose Dr. John is?
Ladies 70. First. 78. 70. Oh, my goodness. I'll undercut her a little bit. I'll say 75.
Well, right off the bat, Kiki hits it right on the nose.
Hello. I did not Google it. I swear it just came to me.
Yep. Dr. John turned 78 on Wednesday.
I hate
All right. Now, one of my favorite people in the world, comedian director Terry Gilliam of Monty Python.
Wow. Want me to go?
Yes, go ahead.
73.
I'll say 78.
Whoa. Mr. Batson?
Yeah.
Right on the money. Terry Gilliam turned 78 on Thursday.
That never happened.
I sure. This never happens. All right. Musician Joe Walsh.
$103.
He looks $103.
I think she's right. I'll say 75, but I think she's right.
Well, Joe turned 71 on Tuesday.
Oh.
So we got to give this one to Kiki. She was right there. knocking on the door. Okay. Actually, we could give it to her because he was 70 earlier in the week.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go.
That's
all right. Singer Bruce Hornsby of The Range.
Go ahead.
Gonna say he is somewhere in the 66th place.
66. I'll say 59.
No.
Oh, we got to give this one to Kiki. He turned 64 on Friday. All right. 3-1.
Okay.
Let's do one more, and you'll have to think about this one. Former Beatles drummer Pete Best.
Wow, that's interesting. All right, I'll give him a second. Maybe I'm going to say 69.
I'll say 65.
Well, Pete will be happy to hear this. Pete turned 77 on Saturday, yesterday.
Ooh.
He was the oldest Beatle for a while, I think.
He was the oldest Beatle, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm afraid Kiki won this round, as I expected. Did we tell her what she won?
What did she win, Dr. Day?
Well, since she won this Who's Gotten Older, she gets to be on the show again.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
All right, before we do the fact of the day, I got a couple more things to share with you. Now, listen to this. Memphis, Tennessee, Elvis Presley's Graceland will host a performance from pop hitmaker Rick Springfield next year. Now, the show is set for January 19th at the Graceland stage, and it will be the first non-Elvis-related concert at the venue.
Wow.
Hmm.
Good for Rick.
Rick Springfield.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
I wouldn't have picked Rick Springfield, but, for the first performance
exactly,
there.
Right?
It's interesting. I wanted to share that with you. Also, on this day in history, the cartoon character Woody Woodpecker made his debut in the animated short Knock Knock.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah, okay, let's do the fact of the day so we can get Kiki on. The fact of the day, the average garden variety caterpillar has 248 muscles in its head. Now, that's the Wild World on November 25th.
Well, once again, a great job done by Dr. Henry Day and his staff at the Wild World News headquarters in Indianapolis, now HD, just a beautiful studio. We want to remind everyone that our program is underwritten by SRIRecords.com. SRI Records, what an amazing catalog they have. Jazz, blues, country, rock, it's all there. And guess what? Thousands of songs you can listen to all the way through. You don't get just a partial sample. And, of course, they're available for download through the SRI label group. So check them out. SRIRecords.com, and we love the CEO of SRI Records, Shelley Leibowitz. He makes it possible for Wild World to be on Blog Talk.
Myself free.
Daughter of actor Buddy Ebsen is an amazing vocalist, but she's also known for her work with horses and the various programs she has developed at her ranch in California. But all of this was in grave peril when the storm of fire tried to engulf it all. Kiki Ebsen will tell us about events surrounding these terrible fires and how she was spared. Ladies and gentlemen, our friend Kiki Ebsen joins us on Wild World. It is so great to hear your voice.
No, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
That is a hard song to sing, and it was so beautiful.
Yes, it was.
Oh, I love Joni Mitchell. I really, really love to play her songs, almost as much as I love my own tune.
It's a great tune, Kiki. And of course, you were on my show with my wife here not too long ago before your big event over the weekend. I understand your tribute to your dad went very, very well.
It was stunning, if I do say so myself. It was a debut of that particular incarnation, which is more of a musical. There were a lot of new pieces that we were just trying out, and it just worked so beautifully. We did it three nights, three performances, and the reviewers were just knocked out. I mean, I'm so excited to move forward with the show. I can't even tell you. We want to go all the way to New York, so we're really going to lay it out this next year. It can be many theaters and really work it out. It's a great show.
Yeah, I hope it comes to Indiana so Dr. Day and I can attend, because I know it's spectacular. Well, I hope you do. That would be fantastic. My goodness.
That would be fantastic.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah. we want to talk to you about these horrible events that have happened in California and how your place was actually spared and was so scared. Can you tell us, in your own words, what the various events that happened that led up to all of this, which turned out to really show the kindness of humanity as far as you're concerned?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it was really, I mean, just the evacuation alone, I mean, we're still sort of reeling from just the impact on the community and the devastation of it all, but also just the magnificence of nature and the universe and how Earth, you know, cleans itself, it cleanses itself, and when we get in the way and if we're resistant to it, I mean, it gets very spiritual in a way, but let's get to the fire. Okay, so what had happened is on Thursday afternoon, it was November 8th, I was with my student, one of my students at the barn, and she was actually talking about, you know, I really want you to start talking to me about, like, what to do in a fire and, like, what happens. And I went, yeah, we should talk about that. And then, sure enough, like, literally a half hour later, a plume of smoke, you know, off to the northeast, I could see it. I went, I guess we're going to have that talk right now. And then my husband, who was a fireman, called me from the station where he was working at and said, you know, I don't want to alarm you, but a fire just broke out about 12 miles northeast of us, which is in sort of the Simi Valley, Box Canyon area of the San Fernando Valley. And it typically is a fire pattern that, if you follow a typical southwesterly pattern, will blow straight to Broad Beach. And having lived at this ranch for 55 years of my life, two fires have gone through in my lifetime. And the ranch house is 9 years old. So it's seen a few more. And there is a direct line that follows the southwesterly winds off the desert directly from Box Canyon. If you were to draw an arrow or a line, it would be straight lines through Malibu, you know, through our area, the Santa Monica Mountains, straight to Broad Beach, Malibu. So typically, I should be alarmed. And the wind was blowing very strong, but it was blowing it west. So it was really blowing it in a way that made me think we were probably going to be okay, but we should just get ready, just in case.
Yeah.
My husband went out on a strike team that afternoon, and over the next several hours, I started calling in friends and say, hey, we have 18 horses here, plus a goat and my pet, my dog and cat. Said, let's hole up here and get the horses ready for evacuation. Because, you know, if things were to become a bit hairy, you know, where we didn't have the time, we could actually do what they call shelter in place, which is there's enough open area where you could leave the horses while the fire burns through and then you get them out if you don't have time. If you have time, you start moving on. But, you know, we really felt strongly that the fire was going to pass us, and even the firemen, and there was no mandatory evacuation for our canyon. It was all to the west of us. So, but we thought we better start moving horses out. And about midnight, 2 mile dirt road just to get out to the main road. So we started hand walking and ponying. We had a couple trailers, but we didn't really have enough. We only had enough. We only had two horse trailers. So we obviously had to hand walk and ride, and what they call pony, which is you ride one horse and you lead as many others as you can.
Sure.
The community just came in, and my neighbors who, you know, like, I don't know, some, you know, everyone has an issue with their neighbor, right? So I've got a couple of neighbors that I don't really talk to very much, but when our houses were on the line, we were all helping each other out. They came down and helped us move horses, and then, you know, it was just a really interesting thing that happens when when people stop looking at each other as adversaries and realize we need each other to get out of this. Everyone came together, and we ended up having all our horses lined up out on this main road, tied to trees, and the fire just got closer and closer, and now it's about 4 in the morning, and we're thinking this fire that was going to blow by us is now blowing straight at us.
Oh.
And my husband's still out on a strike team. He can't get to us. which is awful for him because he's a few miles away where Cornell and Paradise Cove and Malibu Lake, I'm sure you heard a lot of that in the news. A lot of my, lots of my friends lost houses. Robert Hayes, you know, the great actor from Airplane, he lost
yeah.
a beautiful home in Malibu Lake. And just friends of mine with ranchers, you know, just got out by the seat of their pants, you know. And so I don't know any of this. I'm just lined up going, we got to get horses out. And, you know, we started calling for extra trailers. And all of a sudden, animal control started showing up. And all these trailers, were, they had to get through the fire lines just to get to us. And finally, you know, we started just shoving horses on trailers. And I have, you know, all my horses are rescued. And I just rescued four babies. That have never, the only time they were on a trailer was to get them out to my place. And they have no experience, but they jumped on these trailers. They were amazing. And when you're in a situation like that, it was, you know, I keep a few horses at my place, and some of the owners got very, very, not aggravated. They were freaking out, right? Because
yeah.
they had not been through fires before. Activated, that was the word. And I had to stay, you know, really calm, not only for my horses, but for them as well, for the people that were there, you know, really, because I've been through fires before. But still, this was like no other fire I'd ever seen. You know, there's some pictures up on my, I haven't even really begun to update everything, but on my website, the Healing Equine Ranch, we have pictures from the, you know, the fire and from afterwards, from the, some of the buildings we lost. And also on my Facebook page, there's a lot of pictures of, as well, just the evacuation and the during the fire and then after the fire. So I, at one point, when I saw that the fire was literally coming to the freeway, because we're right at the 101, and I looked at it and said, it's going to jump the freeway, which meant it would be right in our canyon. And I had all these horses, and I just turned and faced and saw all these flames, and it wasn't close to me. I was just looking at it. Like, I just decided, I'm not going to resist this, you know. I'm not going to be afraid. We're just going to do this, you know. This is, I just sort of synced up with nature. I know it sounds bizarre,
yeah.
but it really helped me and the horses kind of get through a very traumatic experience where, you know, my horses got split up. They put on trailers going to places. I didn't even know where they were going. You know, they had a piece of tape with their phone, my phone number on their, I put a duct tape on their butt. You know, that's kind of the common ID factor, you know, because horses
yep.
end up at all these different shelters. And they have to be sort of sorted out. But I mean, I had a few volunteers following trailers, so it wasn't as crazy as it could have been. But still, just the trauma of watching one horse go off with a group of horses you don't know, and another horse goes off with that trailer, and then some of them wouldn't load. Some of my friend's horses needed to actually shelter at a neighbor's ranch that was not going to be. I mean. The flames were going to come around, but they would be okay. But the owners didn't know. They were like, oh, well, my horse is out, you know. It was just, everyone was kind of having a hard time. There was a lot of crying and a lot of praying and a lot of, oh, my God, especially when the last trailer came in and said, we had six horses left, and they said, we can't get any more trailers. They actually yelled this, cut your horses loose and run. And the flames had jumped the freeway now. Now we could see flames, you know, again, not right on us, but they were coming down the canyon, and the police were coming through saying, you need to get out, you need to evacuate, you'll be arrested or whatever it is. So I'm like, I am not cutting my horses loose. I'm going to find that arena. And so we went back in, and we went back into the canyon and found the arena to shelter the horses where we knew they'd be safe and they wouldn't be running around in danger of being hit by cars, you know, or emergency. And then I got in my trailer with my dog and my cat, and I took my oldest horse. The first horse I loaded was my 31-year-old, very first horse, because he can't walk that fast. And so I put two horses on my trailer, and then I just went to the nearest canyon to just, you know, I thought my house was burning. I saw it go through my canyon, I just went, my house is burning now. And I was sobbing, and, you know, all the other trailers had gone off to shelters, and I just thought, I'm going to stay here and watch the smoke and somehow be cleansed by this experience and somehow not be devastated. Of course, I was in shock. But I stayed as close as I could without being in harm's way until, you know, for hours, and just kind of, it was surreal. It was just really surreal experience. But then I found out later in that afternoon through my husband and through some other people that, that my house was saved. My house was one of the ones that, didn't get burned down.
My goodness.
But we lost several barns and a container of priceless memorabilia. One of my husband's fire engines burned and all our perimeter fencing. And I mean, we lost a lot, but it wasn't to me. That's nothing when you figure you got 18 horses out. A goat had to actually shelter in place, but he survived. We brought him out the next morning, and it was just amazing.
Well, that was the most heartwarming video I saw was on your Facebook page of you bringing the horses and the goat and everybody back home. I mean, oh my gosh. I mean, it just brought tears to my eyes because I know so many folks out there and that were dealing with this. And then I remembered our friend Kiki Ebsen with all the horses, I thought. And then about then I heard that you were in danger. And that just, I thought, my gosh. I can't imagine anything scary. Basically, a hurricane of fire. That's I can't even
it
imagine.
It really was a hurricane of fire. And, you know, like I said, we had just some lucky things happened, you know, neighbors came down and helped, you know, with a little fire protection. And my husband, you know, he was on the strike team, but he was able to somehow send somebody down, you know, to help out. You know, retired fireman was here as well. So we had great structure protection in the sense that lots of good, you always get to have good clearance around your house, where a lot of the houses just didn't have a chance. They were just so nestled in the mountains with so much fuel. And even in our place, the fuel, it hadn't burned in 35 years.
Mm.
So the fuel was really ripe. And I knew there'd be a fire. It wasn't like if there's going to be a fire. There will be a fire, you know, and it's going to be intense. And I'm just grateful, A, I was in town and not on the road somewhere when it happened. And that I was able to assist to get everyone out, and that I was really proud of my horses. You know, they don't go off the property very often. They rarely trail it anywhere. They're not show horses. So for them to trust me to get in the trailers during a time where there's so much stress going on, and they can smell this, they can see the flames. There's so many people there that try to help, but they put too much pressure on the horses. And you know, that's just not the not the way to go for a prey animal. You have to really be specific so that they'll trust you to get in that trailer, you know, and get to safety. So it was a very intense, but I'm very humble. I'm very grateful. And I learned a lot. I got very clear after this episode.
I can imagine. And, of course, people that have never worked around animals, and as you know and as I know, that you can walk up to an animal, you don't have to say a word. Just the expression on your face or just what you're thinking, they'll be right there with you. I mean, they know exactly what's going on. And because of your demeanor, you saved those horses' lives because of you were able to keep the situation as calm as possible. I know this happened. And those horses sensed all of this, and they trusted you so much that even climbing on those trailers to them was not a question whatsoever. I just know it because I've worked with all sorts of animals, horses included, and they all have that. It's almost like a telepathy that they have. They can read our mind.
Right.
They can read our thoughts.
Right, especially when it's, you know, they can play games with you when you're trying to, you know, trying to load a trailer or you're practicing or whatever. But, you know, there's a tone in your voice. And also, and just in your vibe, it's like, this is not a joke. This is not a drill. Get in the trailer. It's time to go. It's just time to go. And horses I thought would have given me trouble, but they just got in. And I couldn't even go out to see them for a week because I was locked down here at my house. And I didn't want to leave because there were, there were embers still and fire, spot fires. And, you know, and then there's like strange people come in. You know, strangers who come in and they had arrested several looters in our Agora area. It gets to be a little wild west, you know, like every man for himself, you know, no electricity, no water. It's pretty crazy. It was pretty crazy.
Well, and at the start of the program, when you said that this is Mother Nature's or God's way to cleanse the earth, that is so true. And these fires are, I mean, we can't see it now, but when you look at your property a year from now and after the vegetation and all the ash has started and the vegetation's grown through the ash, it will theoretically be more beautiful than it ever was.
No, gorgeous. I mean, already grass is growing just from this little rain we got like a few days ago. And already the canyon's been repopulated by wildlife. So, you know, everyone was, oh my God, the wildlife, what are they going to do? And I mean, I know I put water out, even though I wasn't supposed to. And, you know, then it rained, and then they all came back. I mean, it's like with the deer they're finding things to eat, and the hawks and the birds, and even those crazy little parakeets that, you know, these green parakeets that have populated the valleys are back. But everything is back. The bunnies, and they're cool with it. You know, I think it's such a lesson, and I know, and not to take away from people's loss, because people have lost, you know, so about 1,700 homes have been lost just in this one, and that, I mean, the Paradise Fire, forget it. That was ridiculous. But it stopped. I looked at stuff. Like, I'm getting rid of like 90% of what's in my house right now, because in my heart, on that day when the smoke went canyon, I watched it from the canyon over, I'd already lost the house. So in my mind. So
yes.
Now it makes throwing stuff out really easy. You were gone already. Unless it really, really, I really love it, or to really use it, it's not, I'm not keeping it.
Right.
You know? It's
well,
a very interesting process.
I can feel it in your voice that you've changed since all of this. You have a new realization to your world around you.
Definitely. I mean, and it's a good change. It's a life altering. Where there's clarity about your purpose and what you need to do immediately and going forward, and the people who are near you. You know, my husband and I went through a major. Well, it was trauma. It was stressful. He was so devastated that he couldn't be here with me to protect the house, but yet he was saving Paradise Cove. You know, so there's a lot of that. Stuff you go through, and then you get closer, you know, and life moments become more precious, and you don't waste time.
Yeah.
It's like near death. Somebody goes through a near death experience, and they're like, "Oh, I'm not screwing around anymore." You know,
absolutely.
If it's not serving me, it's not on my radar. You know.
Oh. We're talking to the beautiful Kiki Epson, magnificent vocalist, and her experience with the California wildfire, and gosh, how her horses and herself and her home was saved. We're going to take a short break. You're listening to Wild World on Blog Talk Radio.
SRI Jazz is proud to present their newest release, This Is Ray Brown Jr. That's right, Ella Fitzgerald's son continues to entertain audiences with his warm and charming vocals, making this one of the best vocal jazz albums of the year. Here are some sample tracks from the album. Visit our website to hear all of them in their entirety. Just go to srirecords.com or click on the banner in your media player now.
It's wonderful, marvelous. You should care for me. Awful nights, paradise, what I love to see. My baby, when she walks by, all the fellas go, I know why. Simply 'cause that girl's so fine. If she'd ever leave me, I'd lose my mind. She's got the kind of loving, kissing and a hugging. Sure he's mellow, glad that I'm a fella, and I know, 'cause she knocked me off my feet. Have mercy on me. I know for certain, one I love. I'm through with flirting. It's you that I'm thinking of. Ain't misbehaving, saving my love. For you must take the A train to go to.
You've been listening to a few sample tracks from the new album, This Is Ray Brown Jr. You can hear all the songs in their entirety at srirecords.com. Support jazz music today at srirecords.com. Consideration provided by SRI Jazz.
Hi, everyone. This is Shelley Newports. You're listening to my friend Larry Batson's Wild, Wild World on Blog Talk Radio.
here on Blog Talk Radio with Wild World. We've had its opposite. You hear her account of these terrible, devastating California wildfires. And I forgot to ask, or I haven't asked you yet, Kiki, is that particular fire that you guys were dealing with, has that been contained, or what's going on there?
I think they did contain it. Last I heard, I don't even know exactly how far west it went. I think probably at least past Camarillo, a little bit past Camarillo. It just burned straight out to the beach, you know, which is why Malibu when it happens, it just gets hit so badly. And then, you know, someone just forgets and they build their house again. It's like, oh no.
Sure.
But, you know, I read this amazing article back when the Malibu fire, the one in the early 90s, went through. It didn't affect us necessarily, but it did burn a lot of the homes there. And one of the local papers put out an article about the history of fires in the Santa Monica Mountains and how the Chumash just knew how to move their villages around, the Chumash Indians, so that they could avoid, you know, the catastrophe. And it's just so interesting. We've become such a grounded, like, permanent society where, you know, obviously we can't pick up our homes unless we decide to camp, you know, live in our RVs. But, you know, the earth doesn't really care about our big, beautiful mansions and the places that we find. It's just somebody doesn't care. So I just think it's an amazing lesson for us all, you know, about the impermanence of things and transition and metamorphosis in a big, holy way.
Sure. Well, I can still remember seeing the sign in Rocky Mountain National Park in Colorado when they telling you what precautions or what safety things you should participate in when hiking in these mountains, because as they put it, the mountains don't care.
They don't care. And you know, I went for a little walk on my property today, just a ton of surveying in the process of, you know, damage reports and insurance adjusters and all that stuff. And there's a lot of fencing, among other things, the trees have fallen. So the trees are the big, you know, like even before we get to the rain and the mudslides and all that kind of stuff, but the trees have burned out so many, and we're in the middle of an oak preserve. So, you know, the Malibu Mountains and the Malibu Creek State Park, which is where I live near it, is just all the oaks are just protected, and so many came down and burned from the inside out, and they've all been marked with this orange tape. When you look at it, it says killer tree. And hate seeing that. So there's like,
God,
you know, 15 trees on my property and on my way out, and one of them, you know, they shouldn't be named that anyway. It wasn't their fault. They're not killers, but if they fall, obviously that's what they're saying, is that they could fall and take you out. And, you know, it's just, again,
sure,
we're coming down. Walk fast. Drive fast under us. Oh,
I know. I watched with millions of others these videos that people shot basically coming out of this fireball in their automobiles. And gosh, I couldn't even imagine the terror that they were feeling. And, you know, you're a very brave individual, Kiki. I mean, to come out as well as you did, it's because of you and some very good friends, I know, and your husband.
Yeah, absolutely. And my brother, you know, he really did a lot of work sticking around and helping out with the structure defense. And but, yeah, we're lucky, though. I mean, in the sense that, you know, we have lots of defensible space around the house. We cleared brush farther than you are supposed to, you know, way farther. We have fire hoses. We have a pump, you know. So, you know, we've gone over the scenarios over and over about what we would do if the fire was there. I mean, we have a pool. There's a huge open area where there's an arena, which even if we had to go there and just wait it out, yes, the smoke is awful. But these people in the canyons, Malibu Lake and Decker and Malibu and Canaan and Latigo and Cornell, there's just no place to go. There's one canyon over from me. There's this tiny little private, you know, community, totally scorched the entire road. I mean, the entire street of ranchers is gone. They didn't have a chance because the header of the fire was so fast. And we were on the edge of the fire, so it actually, the head of the fire passed us. The backing fire is what came in and took us out, which is the fire that burns against the wind. The fire behavior was so erratic. I've never seen anything like it. A fire burning ferociously against the wind because the fuel is so dense. And then it creates its own wind. And then it goes into a trough and it comes up and it comes up a draw. And it, now it's just like, it's like a backdraft, you know, it's just like it gains momentum coming up through a canyon as it goes up to the top of the mountain. And it's amazing. It's very beautiful in a really bizarre sort of way, like especially after it burns through and it's creeping through everything and hadn't burned yet, like through our creek. I watched it burn for a couple hours the night I came back in. It was still burning. I wasn't worried about my own safety. I just, because the ferociousness of it had already passed. It was just now burning through all the little branches and everything. But it was phenomenal to watch the universe and the earth just in its primitive state. You know, it's a very primitive state, and it's kind of amazing.
I hope America and the world doesn't forget about these fires, because I know it was such big news when it was all happening, when all this terror was going on. And now things have, I tell you the truth, I don't think I've heard anything about it on the news or anything like that in the last day or so. So I really hope.
Yeah. Well, I hope that, and I hope that the lessons that, like, you know, that we learn as a community, you know, because, and that, like, everywhere, you know, it all starts with your community. If you're divided and you have, you know, different views and you're fighting over certain things, they're just stupid, right? You know, it's like you all come together when there's a disaster. And then all of a sudden everyone's fine, you're back to this, you know, you're back to fighting, you know, and you're back to your own little world or whatever it is. You know, but that's kind of a microcosm of this world. So I just hope people remember that we need each other to survive, and that, you know, your petty little differences in the big scheme of things really doesn't matter. You know, we all got to help each other out. And that's what I really enjoyed about this fire, and I hope that people still hang on to that.
I hope.
Amen.
Absolutely. I understand they've been doing fundraising efforts for your ranch. Can we tell people how to get to that?
Yeah. Please, if you're interested in helping us rebuild, I mean, we have, you know, we will have some funding, but, you know, it's huge deductibles, and there's lots of things you find out that aren't covered.
Yeah.
Your insurance policy. So if you go to thehealingequineranch.com, the Healing Equine Ranch, we have our homepage has a link where you can help, and we're going to add more to that. I've been trying to keep people updated, but, you know, just to take care of everything else and do the updates, it's a lot of stuff to do.
Oh my
but,
God.
We have a really interesting video that my brother's editing, because he was there when we were evacuating, so it kind of shows some of the drama of getting the horses out and what it was like, you know. So just come and get on our email list. If you're not ready to make a donation, you certainly can, but you can also just join our email list, and we'll keep you abreast of how we're doing. And also, you can find out what we do, which is, you know, we teach natural horsemanship programs with an emphasis on human growth and awareness. It helps you in so many ways, whether or not you're going to ever get on a horse or be around horses, you can learn about yourself through the interaction of horses. And if you do have horses, you're going to learn even more. It's a really phenomenal program. All the horses are rescued. We have actually 10 in our program. I work a lot one-on-one with students who have actually rescued horses, and they want to build that from the ground up, a relationship that, for a partner for life. And it's, you know, it's a very, it's kind of a niche crowd, you know. Not everybody really understands that they could have that kind of relationship where you could ride your horse without a bridle if you wanted to, or, you know, do a beautiful liberty dances without any halter. I mean, you can have that connection you're talking about so easily by just understanding a few concepts, and it just makes you a better person all around. And it's fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What a wonderful show, Dr. Day. I know it's terrible circumstances, but it really brought a lot of light out to us, I think.
Yes, and you know what? Kiki's voice is so mesmerizing. The music is secondary. Wonderful, Kiki. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Been a great show. We're going to send a little something special out for Kiki after the show. And folks, God bless Kiki Ebsen and all the work that she does. And such a great pleasure to have her this week on our show. It was quite an honor, very humbling. And please keep us up to date, Kiki, on the latest developments and your fundraising and everything, because we would definitely want to promote it here on our show.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, you guys. I appreciate it. I really
thank you. Thank you,
Kiki.
Bye.
This is Shelley Leibowitz. You're listening to my friend Larry Batson's Wild, Wild World on Raw Talk Radio.